In a very short time, we've been forced to reevaluate our values. Values related to employment, family, and home. As we come out of two history-making pandemic years, connecting with others is more important than ever. But it's safe to say that the way we can and want to connect has changed. We are not-for-profit professionals supporting adults to live, work, and grow in a rapidly changing world. Connection means that we need to work together to build and put into practice whole and multifaceted plans for our clients so that they can reach their own personal successes. For some of us, life is returning to pre-pandemic norms, where we work out of an office on a set schedule. Others may have no office to return to and may spend working hours on a couch or kitchen table in their own home. And some may be straddling schedules where they sometimes go to the office and sometimes work in their own personal space. These experiences are the same for our clients who are navigating a world that is still deciding what work-life will look like. How can we support them while adapting ourselves? Whoever and wherever you are, if you support adults in learning and life, the Getting Connected podcast may be for you. Join us as we talk through relevant topics that support you to do your best work. Grab a coffee, give us just a few minutes of your workday, and let's connect. Hi, everyone. I am Ashley Hoth-Murray, and you are listening to the Getting Connected podcast. I'll be hosting on my own today as Gay is caught up doing other wonderful things. A few weeks ago, I hosted a show that introduced the topic of workplace or workforce literacy. And this type of literacy is really the hot term for the 2022-23 fiscal year. And I feel like it's going to be this way for a while, just given the current employment climate. Workplace or workforce literacy takes training into a specific work environment. It supports employees to upgrade their skills to further productivity for themselves and, of course, for the employers. So today we are going into the field to talk with someone who is providing workforce literacy. We are joined by Alyssa Fast, the program coordinator of the District School Board of Niagara Literacy and Basic Skills. And I might refer to it as DSBN because that is something that we do in our daily lives. And that's an acronym that I might just end up using. So Alyssa comes with an extensive background in social, educational, and development services, behavior sciences, as well as customer service and hospitality. Her experience in literacy and basic skills began as a placement student, which is pretty cool, with a DSBN LBS program over 14 years ago. For the past 3 years, she's volunteered as a board member for Person-Centered Care, Inc., and that's a grassroots organization, local to Niagara, is that right? Is it just
correct,
Niagara?
Yes.
Very cool. The main focus of Alyssa's director role was to network and provide outreach throughout the Niagara region. She is passionate about advocating for and supporting individuals, breaking barriers, as well as providing equitable quality services to accommodate the needs of those in our community. I love the advocacy piece, Alyssa. So I'm really hoping that in some ways, maybe we can touch on that today. But how are you doing today, Alyssa? Welcome.
I'm great. Thank you, Ashley. Thanks for having me today. I am really looking forward to speaking about this topic and speaking about one of my biggest passions in life, which is literacy. It sounds funny whenever I tell people that, unless you're in the literacy world, people don't quite understand it. But yeah, once I got my foot in the door, there was no backing out of it. I just absolutely love what we do and what we are able to provide for the community.
It just kind of traps you, right? And then everyone says reading, literacy, reading.
It's literacy, reading. I'm like a part of it. Absolutely. It's a piece of it. But the things that we do, I always say it's everything.
It's everything
that you do in your everyday life and everything that you apply is literacy at this point. So
we should have a project where we walk up to people on the streets with a microphone and say,
that would be fantastic.
What is literacy? Okay. Let's see if we can get someone to fund that. Anyway, let's get started with our questions about today's topic, workplace and workforce literacy. And my first question is, what makes a workplace or workforce literacy program different from a regular literacy program?
So I think that a lot of the things are very similar, actually, in what we do. But the difference comes from the specifics of the program, in my experience. So looking at when we have a literacy, it might be a bit more general, and we're looking at improving skills towards things that are transferable across the board with individuals. But workplace and workforce literacy really hones in on specific skills that an individual needs to be successful at work. So that could be very specific towards a certain type of job or a certain type of career where we're teaching individual skills towards that career. But it can also be skills that are transferable across many different jobs. So looking at something specific like a computer class or offering Microsoft Office training, that is something that people can take and apply to their work in many different aspects and in many different careers and jobs that are available. So I think the biggest piece, like just to kind of reiterate that, is that we're specifically looking at providing the skills, the tools, the resources that an individual needs to be able to manage the demands of their job and to be successful in their workplace.
So are these clients always employed when you're working?
So it's a mix. We have a mix of individuals. Some individuals are coming in and they're employed and they're looking to gain skills that they need right now to keep up with ever-changing demands of society. Throughout COVID and this pandemic, we have seen a huge change in how we are providing services and how people are accessing services. And a lot of stuff has gone online. So people's jobs have evolved and they may need computer skills in order to keep up with the requirements of what their role looks like. And then we also have people coming in who are unemployed and they're looking to beef up their resumes and add the skills that they need to get a job in a specific area that they're interested in, or just even so that they can go out to employers and say, hey, look, I have all of these skills in my back pocket and look at all of the motivation I have with all of these trainings and different things that I'm taking to improve myself and to be a valuable employee.
Yeah, put it on your resume.
Yes, absolutely. Add it to your resume. It doesn't need to be an intensive 2-year college program in order for it to be a valuable thing for employers to see. You can take a 2-day training and that is super valuable for employers. That is something that they're going to see and they're going to be really enthused about.
Especially since there seems to be a lot of literature right now about the lack of initiative that employees have. And so employers are complaining that people don't have the initiative. So if they're coming into a literacy program, they're upgrading those skills, then definitely it should go on their resume. What does this type of workplace workforce literacy program, what does that look like in a classroom compared to other programs at the District School Board of Niagara?
So for us, I can talk a bit about our specific workplace and workforce trainings that we're offering and how that differs from our regular classes. And I think having the specifics really will help people identify the difference in those types of trainings and the way that we deliver those trainings. But I think a big piece in the difference is the time in that you're attending something like this. Workforce and workplace literacy trainings tend to be more short term. You're looking at very specific skills that individuals need, providing them those tools and getting them back out into the community, applying for jobs, connecting them with other support workers that they need to get them back out there. And workplace literacy, a lot of the time, can be offered within a specific workplace. So for us at the DSBN, we recently had a new training that we're offering with called a housekeeping training. We are able to partner with a hotel in Niagara Falls, and hopefully many hotels going forward is the goal, where we are within their place and actually training individuals with the specific skills they've identified they need workers to have. So we are sitting there and we're providing the health and safety training, any of the pre-work that they need to be able to get on the floor and start working. Maybe that looks at, understanding working alone, health and safety, WMIS and all that type of stuff. as well as actually getting the clients and learners into the rooms, and they are performing the actual duties of the work. So they're cleaning those rooms, they're making the beds, they're learning the proper ways that they make a bed safely so that they don't injure themselves. They're learning the proper way to read labels and which chemicals are used in which areas, and what is the proper order of cleaning a bathroom, because you don't clean the toilet and then use that cloth to clean the sink. So there's a lot of very specific skills that we're teaching people so that they are fully prepared to just kind of walk in and land into that job as the employer needs them to be ready.
So really it's on the job training.
Yeah, it is. It's really beneficial to, both the learner, the client, as well as the employer. It's a win-win for everybody. They have somebody there supporting this new person that they are potentially looking to hire, and getting that training and not having to pay someone of their staff to do that. And then on our end, the clients are receiving this training. They're receiving the ability to make that connection with an employer, show their skills. That really changes things for a lot of people, right? Like putting a resume out there is very different than going in and meeting someone and showing this is what I can do. And then for those who, you maybe don't get a job, maybe that's not the place for you, the skills are transferable. For housekeeping training, yes, they're working in a hotel, but those skills are transferable across the board when it comes to janitorial, custodian, and many different areas of work that are in high demand right now. Just to actually further that, we had an individual who took our housekeeping training. He said, I can't quite work in the falls, but I'm interested in that area of work. So he attended, and he was able to land a job in a different area closer to his home that he was able to get himself to as a janitor. So he didn't land in the hotel. He didn't work in the housekeeping aspect, but he took those skills. He took all of that training and he applied it and was able to get a job in a different area. So that was a great success story.
Yeah. And it's interesting. So the coolest thing about doing these podcasts is I know about these programs, but I don't know about the ins and outs. So I get to learn as we go. So I think I have an idea, but can you talk about the recruiting for a program like this? Because you're recruiting kind of on behalf of the employer, or does the employer ever kind of recruit as well? Like, how does that work?
So I think that it can go both ways. We at this point are doing our own intake and recruitment type idea with learners. So we will have people come through. If we have clients that are currently attending or past clients and learners that we know, we would kind of filter it out there, let them know this is up and coming. Are you interested in it? And then we put it out there like we would with any of our regular LBS trainings and anything else that we're doing, our general classes, and we recruit on our own with the expectations of the employer already set in place. So we kind of have an intake process and we know what people are required and they need to do. So for example, with housekeeping, they need to be able to be on their feet for a few hours. There are certain things that they need to be able to do to be a part of this training. So we have those expectations. We have those things set up in place with the employer prior to, and then we do our intake process and place people based on suitability and those who are best fit for that program.
Yeah, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. And it
could come from the employer too, right? Like they could have a bank of people that they're like, hey, I have 5 individuals who need all of this. We're looking at missing, they need their WMIS training. They need to learn how working alone safely. They need AODA, but we don't have the capacity to do it. We don't have the capacity to provide the person to train them. So we could partner with them and say, yeah, we'll take those 5 people, register those clients and provide what's necessary for them to be successful within their work. And what's so great is the outcomes. It is so motivating for learners because there are these concrete outcomes for them. They're not just learning to read in order to read, or they're not just working on their communication skills for the sake of it. They are seeing real outcomes. They're putting skills on their resumes. They're getting jobs. So it adds so much motivation to the learning when those outcomes are there for them, right?
Yeah, I always like to think of it as relevancy as well. So I use examples. I was always kind of an average math student, but now I do a lot of budgeting for work. And I find the budgeting much easier than I did as a student kind of learning this math that I wasn't sure what I was going to use it for. But because I can look at the budget and I know why I'm doing it and I have a vested interest in it, it's easier. It's more engaging because it's in a workplace. And so by making training relevant to a learner's end goal, their outcome, it just makes learning easier and more absolutely. Fun, more
and
applicable.
That's literacy, right? Yeah. And that's what literacy and basic skills is, right? We look at task-based learning. We look at taking what are these skills and what are the gaps and what are the things that someone needs to be successful in whatever their end goal is. And let's take those skills and show them how these are applicable to real life, how these are applicable to their goal. It's not always easy to connect reading comprehension or grammar or doing numeracy skills to how is that going to help me get a job? That's what we do in a literacy program. And I think that's what workplace literacy does even better. It hones in even more on specific skills. And the DSBN has been working really hard to provide these programs and these trainings for individuals that give them those specific outcomes that they're looking for. And the motivation that we see from these people and the amount of demand that we see from these programs that we're running is insane. We have wait lists all the time. People are calling us all the time looking for our cashier and customer service training, looking for our Microsoft Office training. Now we have the housekeeping training, and we also run a computer basics. So right now we have those four things on the go. But we embed this into our everyday literacy classes as well. So it might not be a specific training that we have titled or a flyer out there for, but if people name it, then we can do it within our classrooms.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So let's talk about the benefits to, awesome. So we're going to start with employees. So what are the benefits to employees of a workplace literacy program? And are there any downsides?
So I think there are many, many benefits. The workplace literacy is going to allow learners to work more effectively and efficiently, work accurately, provide the skills and provide the, the necessary role that they're hired for. They're going to be able to stay safe and healthy at work. They're going to be able to understand how to advocate better for themselves, understanding their rights and responsibilities as an employee. They're going to experience less work-related stress because you have this training on the forefront. You're not going in with this anxiety about what is expected from me. What am I going to have to learn? They have the support of an instructor to help them learn those things and prepare for it. It's helping people get jobs. It's helping them stay employed, and it's also helping people move up in their roles. It's helping them not only get a job, but maybe someone's able to climb the ladder within their company. They're able to find a new role and grow as an individual and as a professional. And it's also, they're going to earn more. The more skills you have to offer, the more that you're going to make, and who doesn't want to earn more money, right?
So, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think there's tons of benefits. I think, and I don't think that this is a negative thing at all, but the learner has to put the time in, right? They have to do the work and the time. And I think that might be the only deficit that someone could see from their end is, I have to commit to this. And maybe it's not a job at the end. Maybe it's not exactly what they're looking for at the end. And they're having to put that time in and that effort. But for those who are motivated and looking for work, then that's not even something that's an issue at all for them either. So.
Yeah. They're building their resume one way or the other.
Yeah. And everyone has different things that they're coming from, maybe time, there could be issues with time. Like our workplace literacies are offered in a daytime programming, right? We're a daytime school class. So maybe that's a barrier for some individuals. If they're already working, how am I going to attend and improve my skills to get a better job if your class is while I'm supposed to work? There are barriers and there are things, but I think the benefits of these courses and these trainings completely outweigh anything like that.
Yeah, sounds like it. So let's move on to employers. What are the benefits to the employers of a workplace workforce literacy program? And are there any downsides for employers?
So employers, they are, you know, reaping the benefits for sure on their end. They're going to get people who are trained and people who are experienced and ready to work. They're going to have increased customer satisfaction and customer loyalty because the people that are working for them are providing seamless service, are providing, you know, the things that need to be given to them. They might see increased revenues due to people being more productive at work, people being more motivated and happy in their jobs. And, you know, they're going to see a higher rate of positivity within their team. If you have a team who feels like they're supported, if you have a team who feels like they are enabled to grow and to be the best that they can be as a professional, you are going to have a happy workplace to go into. And I think that that's one of the biggest benefits is having a positive workplace and having a team who feels just supported.
Yeah, empowered.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, great word. Thank you, Ashley. I lose myself for words at times.
We all do.
But yeah, I think that's a super important key piece. And I mean, the benefits of these are just, of these trainings are just endless for both employers and employees. There's nothing really negative that can come from learning and adding to your skills, right?
So as an employer, if you have somebody who's gone through one of your programs, I'm just thinking like, what could a potential downside be? And it might not even be a downside at the DSBN, but there are other programs yeah. doing this in different ways across the province. So if somebody goes through your program and you say, yes, they've completed this program and an employer hires them, like, is there any assessment or validation from you saying, you know, this person is prepared? Like, how does an employer know that that person is ready for the job?
So with our housekeeping, I'll look at that specifically. We worked very closely with the employer to kind of determine what that looks like at the end. What does a successful learner look like? What does it, what are they going to be able to do? And how are we going to gauge that, right? Someone can take a training and can sit in a class and do all these things. And then at the end, they maybe absorb nothing, mm-hmm. or maybe they're not interested. They're not motivated. There's many different factors. But I think that what we put into place was involving the employer and ensuring that they're part of the process from start to finish. So they know the people that are coming into the training to begin with. They're popping in to meet the individuals throughout the week, kind of see their engagement level, get to know them a little bit more on a personal level. And then at the end of the housekeeping training, they do a demonstration with the head housekeeper. So they have the opportunity to connect one-to-one with their head housekeeper and also demonstrate the skills. So they have that opportunity to show, are they able to clean the room within that 20-minute time span like they're required? Or do they need a little bit more work? Do they need some training? Do they need to maybe take these skills and apply them to a different area? But that's something we kind of say at the beginning for all learners. So they're aware, like, this, just because you're taking this training, you're not landing a job at this place. But it's still valuable in all these other ways. And for most people, the value of all the other things is motivation enough. And then if they were to get a job within that workplace, that would be just even more exciting. But yeah, so I think the biggest thing is working with the employer. And if you don't work with the employer to find out a way to gauge that end result, then yes, you may see some difficulties with keeping and retaining those relationships with employers to provide that training, right? We need to provide training that is valuable, that is consistent. We need to make sure those leaving the training are well prepared and that we're providing what they need as the program doing that. So yeah, I think it's really important to ensure that what you're providing is good service and quality service so that you can retain those relationships with employers and continue on that road. Otherwise, they're just going to say, well, this isn't a value. You're just giving me people that I need to retrain again.
Yeah. And what a different first day it would be if you've got a strong program and you really prepare these learners and then they go in for their first day of actual paid work, to compare that to somebody who's you know, hired off a resume and a quick interview and goes in and really has to train the first day a little differently. That's a very different experience for the employee and the employer.
Yeah. I think the amount of anxiety that could be relieved on both ends, the employer knowing they're coming in prepared and the employee knowing also they're coming in prepared, like they come in, there's no questions, right? Everything's kind of been done prior to, and with that support, yes, the employer can provide training. Yes, the employer can do all these things, but can they provide that extra support that our LBS program can provide? Do they have people trained in instruction and delivering content in curriculum? We have specialties and things. So, you know, it's really valuable for us to be doing that and providing that piece for employers.
Yeah, very cool. It's just such a unique take at a time that that it's really needed.
Yes. Oh my God. I think it's so cool. I think workplace and workforce literacy is a huge part of our future. Not just, I think they obviously Employment Ontario is making it pretty well known. They're kind of really heavy weighting workplace things, employment goal paths. And it makes sense, right? That's the way that we're going to help those in our community become more involved, get back into providing for themselves, for their families, feeling confident. And also improving our economy, right? All around, if we just get people with the skills they need, if we provide them the tools that they need, then they're going to be successful. And that success relates into our communities, into society.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well said, Alyssa. Thank you. I'm going to ask you one final question that we ask all of our guests. And your answer does not have to connect with workforce, workplace literacy, but it's all right if it does. What is one tool, material, resource that you wish people used more?
Oh my goodness. I thought I was so prepared and I forgot that question. Sorry.
Well, there you go. It's going to be a really honest.
I have lots. This is going to sound silly. And I hope people can understand where I'm coming from, but the biggest thing and resource, and I will elaborate on a specific resource, but each other. I really think that we have so much knowledge within our LBS programs. And I know we have our ways of connecting and our ways of sharing, but we're still so, you know, we still have our silos and we still do our own thing. And having this podcast where we can all tune in and listen to what each other is doing and how can we make our programs more effective within the community. And I think one of the biggest tools and resources that we need to tap into is each other. As our LBS community and all of the knowledge that we have and all of the experience that we bring together, and not just within our own agencies, and but reaching out and kind of relying on one another in that manner is really important. That would be my biggest one.
That's a great answer. And I think, yeah, I totally agree with that. I think LBS allows for a lot of diversity. So a lot of people are able to kind of discover their niche and really become experts in those areas. Mm-hmm. And then if we continue to kind of hold that expertise within our own organizations, we really don't help the greater field, as well as we do a deficit to ourselves because we're not exchanging that knowledge for mm-hmm. other knowledge and working together. So absolutely. Yeah, I love that. We haven't had anything
more. And I always say, like, there is enough need. There is so much need in our communities for literacy, for workplace, regular literacy, computers. Like, the demand is there. You know, we don't need to be like thinking like, oh, if we do that and they're going to do it, we're not going to have the need. The clients are coming regardless. So, you know, we can all have our specialties for sure, but kind of tapping into one another and sharing the ways that things work. And this is really working well for us when we're reaching out to employers, or, you know what, we really struggled with this and I would suggest not taking that route, would be really helpful. Just helping one another not kind of trip on the same path that someone else already had, or finding an easier way to success for our clients. Because at the end of the day, we're all here for the clients, for the learners. And we're all just here to see them get to the next step.
Yeah. Great. What a great way to end the show. That's so inspirational. I love that. So I just want to thank you for joining us today, Alyssa. I think as I said, you said, we've all said today, workplace workforce literacy is here to stay. And I think that you are a great example at the DSBN of how to do it in a way that benefits both potential employees, current employees, and employers. So thanks for joining us. And thanks for listening, listeners. We look forward to getting connected with you next time.